Tonight's scripture reading is from Acts 19, verses 5 and 6. I'll be reading from the updated New American Standard. That's Acts 19, 5 and 6. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking with tongues and prophesying.
Good to be with you tonight. We hope everyone had a restful afternoon, and good to be back with you this evening. We are engaged at this time in a series of lessons with regard to the Holy Spirit. And most of you know that we have looked at this. First of all, we began in a very practical way, simply emphasizing the nature of the Holy Spirit, emphasizing that the Holy Spirit is a person. And that's very important to understand, that he is an individual entity of a rational nature. He is a person and has all the attributes of a person. He speaks and hears and testifies. He can be grieved, and the list goes on. So he is a person. But not only is he a person, he is a divine person. He is a member of the Godhead. He is omniscient. He knows the mind of the Father. He not only is omniscient, but he is eternal. And those are attributes that belong to deity and deity alone. And so he is a divine person. We have observed things like the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We have looked at the baptism of the Holy Spirit and dealt with miracles. We wrapped that up on last week. And so tonight, just for a little while, we want to talk about speaking in tongues. Obviously, this could fall under the category of miracles. But tongue speaking is something that people seem to cherish so much in the religious world today. And there's a lot of misunderstanding with regard to tongue speaking. What is tongue speaking? And does tongue speaking still exist today? And, of course, those who are Pentecostals or charismatic in nature believe that they do, because they believe that miracles exist today. On last week, if you weren't here, we established from Scripture that miracles have ceased. It doesn't mean that God is not a supernatural God. He is. He has all power, more power than we can even comprehend. But the miraculous age lasted for about 60 years, and that's it. Throughout all of human history, there was only a 60-year period of time when you had the kind of miracles that are enumerated in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And so those miracles have ceased, and we again proved that on last week. But tongue speaking, for whatever reason, it was the same case with the church at Corinth. People cherish that particular miracle or that particular gift. And so we want to look at exactly what tongue speaking is. And let's begin by looking at what Pentecostals teach. This is what those, not only Pentecostals, but those who are charismatic in nature, those who believe in tongue speaking today, this is pretty much the feeling that they share. The baptism of believers in the Holy Ghost is witnessed by the initial physical sign of speaking with other tongues as the Spirit of God gives them utterance. The speaking in tongues in this instance is the same in essence as the gift of tongues, 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 10, also verse 28, but different in purpose and use. And so they clearly believe in tongue speaking. This is from a book. I'm not quite sure the author. Snake Handlers is the name of the book, page 73. He says, to me, receiving the Holy Ghost means you've got Jesus in you. You've got the Spirit of God in you, and it'll talk to you, speaking in tongues. If a child is born and you hear it cry, you say, well, that child's got life in it. When a child of God is born again, you can also hear it talk. Clearly, they believe in tongue speaking. One of the things that I'll point out in just a minute, we'll elaborate on this more, is that if individuals who claim they can speak in tongues today if they could really speak in tongues, it would be evidence that they have the Holy Spirit. And if they had the Holy Spirit, then they wouldn't teach error, would they? And I'll point out some of the errors that those who believe in miracles today and believe they can speak in tongues today practice religiously. But just in passing, if you notice this, do you notice as it says here, if when a child of God is born again, you can hear it talk. Like they're very loose, just even in their language. There is no such thing as a child of God being born again. Children of God are not individuals that are born again. You're born again before you become a child of God. A child of God is someone who is born again. You become born again when you obey the gospel of Christ. And so this idea is like, say, a Christian, a born again Christian. No, the terminology has to be right. You have to be born again to become a child of God. And I know that doesn't mean a whole lot. It's just slight. Maybe it's just terminology. Maybe it's just the way they word it. But you would think if you're guided in all things by the Holy Spirit, you'd word things right. You would think. But we'll emphasize that more in a minute. Look at some real things that they are teaching that's air in just a minute. But let's continue. Roswell Flower says, it's like a power within a person. It rises up within one and takes control of one's vocal organs. An utterance comes out which does not come through the mind. It is a process of the Spirit. It is an ecstatic utterance. Speaking in tongues is speaking a distinct language, sometimes a modern language unknown to the speaker. Sometimes it has an unknown tongue. Now, I want you to notice that ecstatic utterance. That's what they believe tongue speaking is. It is in many cases they emphasize that it is an unknown tongue. We'll talk about that more in just a minute. Well, here's Carol Osborne. And I put him up because he is a member of the Church of Christ. And you would think this is a problem simply among Pentecostals and among charismatics, those who are part of denominational churches. But the very reason we're preaching on some of these things is because once you get carried away with your idea of the Holy Spirit and you start believing, as Pentecostals teach, that Holy Spirit baptism, for example, is for everyone, and everyone is filled directly with the Holy Spirit, separate and apart from the Word of God, and you begin teaching that sort of thing, sooner or later, you're going to start to think, well, if the Holy Spirit is dwelling in me apart from the Word of God and acting on me, working on my life apart from the Word of God, I have to figure out something that He is doing. And that can very easily lead to false ideas. And so now you have a preacher in the Church of Christ here who says, I'm no longer willing to say that anyone who does speak in a tongue has an experience that is not of God. I can no longer stand in judgment of that person's experience. If in the Corinthian church, Paul said, do not forbid the speaking of tongues, I am no longer willing to forbid the speaking in tongues. You don't know how many times I had to deal with that when I was doing radio work. That denominational people would call in and use that kind of argumentation. Like, clearly, Paul did not tell them to quit speaking in tongues because he was writing to them during a time during the miraculous age. You would think Mr. Osborne would understand that. But he's gotten carried away with this business of the Holy Spirit and direct indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and now believes and teaches that it is okay, at least, to speak in tongues. And so, but this is what is taught out there in the religious world with regard to speaking in tongues. So let's get to it. Then what does it mean to speak in tongues? Do you realize that there are only five passages in all of the Word of God that speak directly to tongue speaking? Like, it is such a favorite gift to so many people. You would think that the Bible is filled with passages that talk about speaking in tongues, but that's not the case at all. Just five passages in all of the Word of God that mentions tongue speaking. Just five. And when we look at these, we don't have time to look at each one of them. Mark 16 at verse 17. I want you to keep in mind the Pentecostals believe that tongue speaking is an ecstatic utterance. Well, Mark chapter 16 at verse 17 says, "And these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues." You couldn't prove that tongue speaking there is ecstatic speech if your life depended on it. But let's just quickly go through this. We're going to get back to Acts chapter 2 in just a moment. But Acts chapter 10 at verse 46, "For they were hearing them speaking in tongues." This is happened in the household of Cornelius, you remember? The Gentiles had the Spirit poured upon them and they spoke in tongues. And so it says that they were hearing them, the Jews were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. And then Peter declared, etc. You know what I wonder when I read that passage of Scripture? Again, that's the situation with the household of Cornelius, and the Holy Spirit fell on the Gentiles. Why? To prove that the Gentiles had repentance unto life. But the evidence is that that had not happened for 10 years because it reminded Peter of what happened not the week before or the month before, but a decade before. Like if the Holy Spirit was being poured out on people all of the time, if it was the common experience of every believer, why did it remind Peter of something that happened 10 years in the past? Just maybe that was the last time it happened. And that's exactly the truth. But that's the situation here. And you notice they were speaking in tongues, and the Jews hearing these Gentiles speaking in tongues, they heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Here's my question. How do they know they were extolling God? If it was just gibberish, if it was just ecstatic utterance, as the Pentecostals say, how do they know what they were saying? That's something to consider. Then in Acts chapter 19 at verse 6, it says, "And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying." Then you have 1 Corinthians 12 and through 14. Obviously, I don't have time to deal with that. I'm thinking right now that I might do a lesson on 1 Corinthians chapter 14. That those three chapters, Paul is dealing with miracles. Chapter 14, the entire chapter almost deals with tongue speaking. There's some other things involved in that chapter as well, but a lot of it has to do with tongue speaking. And so I may do a lesson just on that chapter alone because it's so involved that I wouldn't have time tonight to look at it. But those are the five passages. Five passages where tongue speaking is mentioned. And not one of those passages gives us an indication that tongue speaking is gibberish, that it is ecstatic utterances that man cannot understand. In fact, I know that's not what it is because of all of those passages, just one of them gives us a definition of exactly what tongue speaking is. And that, of course, is Acts chapter 2. And what we learn in Acts chapter 2, without any doubt or any question at all, is that tongue speaking isn't gibberish. It is simply a language that individuals could speak without having been taught. Turn your Bibles over to Acts chapter 2 and let's see what the Bible says. Acts chapter 2 and at verse 1 beginning, we've looked at this context a little bit already. But Acts chapter 2 at verse 1, it says, "And when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Let's not forget, we've already proven with regard to this outpouring of the Holy Spirit that the Spirit fell on the apostles on this occasion. They were the ones who spoke in tongues. How do I know? Because in this context, they were the ones who were accused of being drunk. And it was those who were accused of being drunk who spoke in tongues. And it was the apostles who were accused. And so the Holy Spirit didn't fall on the 120 that you read about back in chapter 1, as a lot of people suppose, but on the apostles. And so they began to speak in tongues. Now it says, there was dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. Ladies and gentlemen, that's just as clear as it can get. That is the Word of God. It may not be exciting. It may not thrill individuals, but here is the one passage in all of the Word of God that gives us a definition of what tongue speaking is. And there's no evidence that in any of the other four passages that tongue speaking is anything else other than that. Now, for full disclosure, there is one verse in 1 Corinthians 14 at verse 2 that we need to deal with. We don't have time to do it tonight. That's why I'm considering doing a lesson on that chapter alone. But even though verse 2 of 1 Corinthians chapter 14 might cause you to stop and consider what Paul says there about speaking to God rather than men, when you study that passage, that chapter as a whole, it is clear from the entire rest of the chapter that tongue speaking is nothing more than a human language. So as difficult as verse 2 might be, I believe I have a biblical answer for verse 2, but as difficult as that one verse might be, when you look at the entire chapter, there's no question that the tongue speaking there is the same thing that is identified in Acts chapter 2, a human language. That's what tongue speaking was. Individuals being able to speak in a language that was not their own, that they had never been taught. That's tongue speaking. That's tongue speaking. Yet that is not what you see with regard to denominationalism today. They admit what they utter is gibberish. It's ecstatic utterances. Look that up, ecstatic, in the dictionary and see what it says. It's an out-of-control kind of language. It's speaking without really knowing what you're saying or even doing. It's something that you do when something else takes control of you. And that's what Pentecostals believe happens when they speak in tongues. It's the Spirit taking control of their mind. They don't even know they're about to do it. They don't even know what they're doing when they do it. They're under the control and influence of the Holy Spirit. Listen to me. You won't read about something like that in the Bible ever. The Spirit never takes control of an individual's mind like that. Even in the miraculous age, when individuals were doing things by the power of the Holy Spirit, they never, ever, ever lost their self-control. Ever. There's no evidence of that anywhere in the Bible. And yet, that's what people do today. We'll see that. But it is simply a human language. That's what tongue speaking was. We know that it has ceased because miracles ceased. And we saw that again previously. 1 Corinthians 13 at verse 8. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. So the tongue speaking will cease. We don't have time to rehash what we've done already. But we demonstrated, I believe, on last week, that when Revelation was complete, that was the time that all of these miracles, that tongue speaking, ceased. Here is what Vines says. Vines Expository Dictionary is one of the best biblical dictionaries you can get from the standpoint of just conservative scholarship. Almost every preacher has Vines in his library. And I'm not just, not simply preachers who preach in churches of Christ. Most denominational preachers have Vines. He's well respected. Nobody doubts his scholarship at all. And so it's interesting that he says this under tongue speaking in his dictionary. He says, there is no evidence of the continuance of the gift after apostolic times, nor indeed in latter times of the apostles themselves. This provides confirmation of the fulfillment in this way of 1 Corinthians 13:8, that this gift would cease in the churches. just as would prophecies in knowledge, in the sense of knowledge received by immediate supernatural power. The completion of the Holy Scriptures has provided the churches with all that is necessary for individual and collective guidance, instruction, and edification. I couldn't put that better if I tried for years to put something together. That's exactly right. And keep in mind, if you're visiting with us, again, Vines, he's well respected. He's not a member of the Church of Christ. He's just a scholar on words. That's his expertise. And he's exactly right in what he says here. Tongue speaking has ceased. And it ceased when revelation was complete. When that which is perfect came, it ceased. So whatever people think that they're doing, and there are a lot of people. I had an uncle. He's passed away now. He believed with all his heart he could speak in tongues. He was very sincere about that. Again, when I was doing radio work, people would call up all the time, and they would claim that they were speaking in tongues. They wouldn't claim much. We'd be talking about something like this, and they'd simply call up and then utter a bunch of gibberish and hang up on me. And say, "We just showed him tongue speaking does exist." Well, If I could call them back and have an honest conversation with them, they probably really believe that what they just did was tongue speaking. That's not tongue speaking. Never was tongue speaking. Tongue speaking wasn't ever just a bunch of gibberish. It's a human language. There's one passage that gives us the definition. So every time in the Bible you read of tongue speaking, you must apply that definition. If not, why not? Unless you have good evidence to do otherwise, and you don't have it. And so the fact of the matter is, tongue speaking has ceased. It was just a human language, and when revelation was complete, it ceased. Now, I want to take some time looking at this. Biblical tongues versus modern claims. Remember what I said about miracles? Tongue speaking being a gift, of course, and falling under the umbrella of miracles, what I said about miracles would apply to tongue speaking. It is this. If tongue speaking is going on today, it ought to be exactly the same as it was in the first century. If it is the exact same gift generated by the exact same Spirit under the oversight of the exact same God, it would be exactly the same. But you don't see that with modern efforts to speak in tongues. So let's just take a quick look at this. We could spend a lot of time on this, but first of all, spirits of prophets were subject to prophets. Open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and let's just take a quick look at this. We'll cover this in detail. Now don't hold me to doing a complete study on 1 Corinthians 14. It's not actually in my notes here, and I haven't decided for sure to do that, but I might. But 1 Corinthians 14 at verse 32, it says simply about the prophets, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. Now, I know this has to do with prophecy, but it really has to do with how the Holy Spirit works in the lives of individuals, even during the miraculous age. The Holy Spirit never took control of the prophets and did that sort of thing. The prophet was always under control. That's why Paul would give instruction to prophets in the first century church. Well, the same thing would be true with regard to those speaking in tongues, wouldn't it? Why wouldn't it be true? It would be true. And yet what you find is that in modern churches today, they engage in tongue speaking and it's really out of control. I've heard it with my own ears. I've been to services. Well, individuals will start speaking in tongues. And it's interesting how it happens. It always happens when the preacher gets them fired up. Like the preacher's calm and everybody's calm. And the preacher gets going and running around and start really firing things up. And all of a sudden, people all around are uttering tongues. And then the preacher calms down and they calm down. He gets fired up, they get fired up. Like, what? We have no evidence in the New Testament that that sort of thing ever happened except in the church at Corinth, and Paul is condemning them for it and having to regulate what they were doing. But the point of it is here, the tongue speaking was generally never under control, never out of control like it is today in churches. They spoke in recognizable language. We saw that in Acts chapter 2. Today, it's unrecognizable language. It's gibberish. Like, we know that for a fact. There are individuals who aren't Christians, and I hate to even mention them or try to rely on them, but there's been news people and things who have investigated. Like, when people start thinking that they have supernatural powers, you know that's going to catch the attention of somebody. And critics out there, critics of the Bible and critics of Christianity are going to try to expose them. Now, I'm against those critics from that standpoint, but you know they're going to do that sort of thing. So they hear of individuals, churches claiming they're speaking in tongues and some heavenly language, ecstatic utterance. And over the years, some of these news agencies and other groups of people have snuck in and recorded them. And guess what they have discovered? What the so-called tongue speaking people are saying is not a different language, just gibberish. It's nothing. And that's not what tongue speaking is. It never has been. It never was, I should say. It was always a recognizable language. Women were to keep silent in the assemblies. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 34. That's a lesson within itself we could talk about sometime. But today, women speak in tongues regularly in the assemblies. That's what you find in denominational churches. Why? It was the Spirit who inspired Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 at verse 34 to utter those words for women to keep silent in the churches. Why would the Holy Spirit contradict himself years later? That deserves, we deserve an answer for that, don't we? If that were the case. They were to speak in course. Look, we're still here at 1 Corinthians 14. Look at verse 27. If any speak in tongue, let there be only two or at the most three, and each in turn, and let someone interpret. So you see what was going on at Corinth, and this wasn't the normal situation. This was something that Paul condemned. In the church at Corinth, in their assemblies, people were just popping up and speaking in tongues. Paul regulated and said, no, this is how you're to do it. You have to speak in course, one at a time. Not a bunch of people speaking over themselves, one person at a time. And you can only have so many in a particular assembly. And that is violated all the time in these modern day churches. Pentecostal charismatic churches, as I've said just a few moments ago, I've been there myself, where people just in the audience get fired up and start speaking in tongues. Over and over again, a bunch of people, all at once. Why would the Holy Spirit inspire them to do that when he's the one who, through Paul, said, no, you have to do it by course? Like, we have to make a stand. We have to decide just who it is that we're going to believe. Is what's going on in these denominational churches real, or was Paul preaching the truth? Was Paul inspired by the Spirit when he said what he did in 1 Corinthians 14, 27? You have to pick a side. Both of those situations can't be right. It's either one or the other. I choose to believe Paul. But these are things that should be answered. As we see in this place, when they were to have an interpreter or keep silent. That's what verse 27 says that. Verse 28 says, but if there is no interpreter, let each of them keep silent in the church and speak to himself to God. I've seen TV evangelists, right in the middle of their preaching, they'll speak in tongues. It'll just be a line or two. And people will get all excited, like he'll just be fired up and he'll be going and preaching and then he'll utter something nobody can understand what in the world he's saying, and then he'll get back to preaching. Where's the interpreter? That's a violation of Scripture. You mean to tell me that the Holy Spirit, through Paul, gives a command that there should be an interpreter, or you ought to keep silent, and then 2,000 years later, direct individuals to do the very thing that's a contradiction to what he taught through Paul? I'm not buying that for a minute. Today, they hardly ever have an interpreter. There's something wrong with that situation. Let's quickly look at the contradictory nature of their claims. Keep it in mind what I said earlier. If these folks really can speak in tongues, they're guided by the Spirit. And if they're guided by the Spirit, they wouldn't teach or practice anything but truth. That's not the case. They would not teach that baptism is for the remission of sins. A lot of these folks who claim that they have the Spirit and it's the Spirit guiding them to speak in tongues, they don't teach baptism for the remission of sins. A few of them do, but a lot of them don't. That tells me you're not under the guidance of the Holy Spirit if you can't even get that right. Acts 2 at verse 38, Peter was guided by the Holy Spirit when the people asked him, "What must we do? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Why isn't the answer the same today? It is, really. But a lot of people aren't teaching that, including those who claim that they are guided by the Holy Spirit. They would wear scriptural names if they were really guided by the Holy Spirit. They wouldn't call their preacher reverend, because the Holy Spirit, through the New Testament, condemns the idea of wearing titles religiously. Did you know that? That's condemned in the Word of God. That's condemned by the Son of God himself. Call no man father. That's a religious title. He's not talking about your biological father. He's talking about wearing religious titles. Why should we call no man father? Why shouldn't we call individuals reverend? Because we're all brethren. By the way, holy and reverend is his name. Why would I refer to a mere man like that? But a lot of these individuals claiming to speak in tongues do that very thing. Some of them claim to be so-called reverends and allow people to call them by religious titles. There's something wrong with that. They would observe the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. Why? That's what the Bible teaches. They would have a plurality of elders, not one pastor over a church. Almost every charismatic church on earth has a pastor system. I'll give you $1,000 if you can show me in the Bible a pastor system. And I don't have $1,000 to give you. That's how confident I am. That's denominationalism. In the New Testament, local churches were comprised of elders, plural, elders, deacons, and saints. There were no pastor systems where there's one pastor who has maybe a few assistant pastors, but he's the one in charge. That's pure denominationalism. You can't read about it in the Bible ever. If you are a member of a church that has one man who claims to be a pastor, a red flag should go up right away. He's craving power. The fact of the matter is, it's unscriptural. Well, why is that the situation with people who claim today to be guided by the Spirit, evidenced by speaking in tongues? If they were really guided by the Holy Spirit, they wouldn't have the pastor system. They wouldn't teach false doctrine. Things like you can't fall from grace. And obviously I can't put all the false doctrines on the screen that's going around today. But many of them teach false doctrine. That tells me right away they don't have the Spirit at all. They can claim they're being guided by the Spirit. They can utter out a bunch of gibberish all they want to. But if they're teaching things that contradict what the Spirit taught in this book we call the Bible, it cannot be true. It simply can't be true. And then they contradict each other even. There's something fishy about that, don't you think? different groups claiming to be guided by the Spirit, claiming they have the Spirit, evidenced by speaking in tongues, and they can't even agree with each other. Like, just quickly, some say that there's one person in the Godhead. Other Pentecostal groups say that there's three. The Spirit can't be guiding both of those groups. Some say that water baptism is essential for salvation. Others say that we're saved by faith only. Some say that a baptismal formula that must be observed. You have to baptize in the name of Jesus only, some of them say. Others say there is no such formula. Some say that baptism must be an immersion. Others say that it can be a sprinkling or a pouring. That's okay. Some say that baptism is a sacrament. Others say it's an ordinance. But they all claim together that they're guided by the Holy Spirit. Once again, I don't buy it. There's something wrong with that. I would suggest to you that neither group have the Spirit at all. But let me look at one more thing very quickly, and the lesson will be yours. Here's when people start practicing things that are man-made, they always, the train sooner or later just gets off the tracks, and they get bizarre. And there are churches today, Pentecostal churches, I don't know, but that this isn't a common practice. I can't say that it is. But I don't know that it's not, and that is that some of these charismatics actually teach their membership how to speak in tongues. Like, you can take a course, tongue speaking. That's real. There's a church in Los Angeles, California, the Rainbow Revival Church, I believe is the name of it. And listen at them. They say, as you praise God, do not try to stop stammering. In fact, the more you get the words of praise mixed up, the easier it is for the Holy Spirit to take control of your tongue and to speak in unknown tongues through you. Isaiah 28 at verse 11. For with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to this people. Like, that's just amazing. If I do deal with 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I'll show you that that passage in Isaiah chapter 28, verse 11, is without question just talking about a foreign language. I mean, it's not even debatable. You go back home and read Isaiah 28, verse 11, and see what it's talking about. Isaiah is warning the people of Israel, you're, because of your unfaithfulness, you're going to be taken captive to a strange country with strange people, and they are going to speak stammering tongues, a foreign language. Why wouldn't this fella or this church know that? But anyway, they're given instruction to start seeking, say the words of praise in a paragraph below over and over very rapidly for 2 or 3 minutes, and then go to the next paragraph, repeating the words of praise in each paragraph about the same length of time. After you have repeated the words in all of the paragraphs, you may start at the beginning and use these words of praise over and over. And here's the paragraph they were talking about. Glory to God, hallelujah. Glory to God, hallelujah. Glory. I could, if I tried to say that real fast, I'd have stammering lips, no doubt about it. But they actually give them the words to say. Praise precious Jesus, Prince of Peace. Praise precious Jesus. You know, they put these things together on purpose that would be difficult to say quickly over and over again. You know what would happen if you memorize this list and you try to say it as fast as you could over and over again? You know what would come out? Gibberish. And that's, in modern churches, that's what tongue speaking is. In the Bible, it is a human language, a real language where God can be extolled and God can be praised and the mystery can be revealed. The gospel could be preached. Real language, human language. Today is gibberish. And no wonder when they teach their membership how to do it, in ways like this. There's something wrong with all of that. The fact of the matter is, tongue speaking has ceased. It was for a particular reason. Again, it was to confirm the word of God. In Acts chapter 2, that's exactly what we have. Those men, the apostles, were baptized with the Holy Spirit. They spoke in tongues. And as a result of that, when they preached the gospel, nearly 3,000 souls, or about 3,000 souls, repented of their sins, and they were baptized into Christ. And that was the purpose of miracles, to confirm the word. But tongue speaking was never gibberish or ecstatic utterance. There's not any place in the Word of God that suggests such. That's just the truth, ladies and gentlemen, with tongue speaking. It's a human language, no more, no less. Unless you can find a passage that proves otherwise, and you simply can't. Well, I'm not quite sure where we're going to go to next. We might deal with Revelation. I might. I won't be here next Sunday. And so I'll be returning the Sunday after that, and I'll give it some thought. I may just take a quick lesson on 1 Corinthians 14 and then move on to some other things like Revelation and see what the Bible says about that. Are you subject to the invitation of Christ? Why not obey the gospel? Why not do it right now? Like, you may not have tomorrow. James tells us that life is like a vapor that appears for a while and then vanishes away. The water is ready, and you have the opportunity if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You believe that He is that Christ, that God has made Him both Lord and Christ. Then you need to obey the gospel before it's too late. You don't have to know everything. We can teach you the gospel more fully. The instructions that you'll have to follow in your daily living. To become a Christian, you have to believe, though, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Listen to me. You have to repent. If you don't repent, you'll go into the water, a dry sinner, and come out a wet sinner. You have to make up in your mind that you're going to turn away from sin, even if the sin is denominationalism or some other false teaching or doctrine. You need to come out of that. But you need to repent. If you're willing to repent and be baptized, then you can be a child of God in just a few minutes. Why not take advantage of this opportunity? We hope that you will, as we together stand and sing.